Chanukah Sameach, everyone. Today's daf in Masechet Ta'anit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Aleph. And we've got such an exciting daf. I really pity anybody who isn't here today. Terrible, terrible. Okay, so let's begin our wonderful story. So we were in the middle of discussing the issue of taking down the various chuyot that people had and what it was that Rava was saying, I can't possibly go and compete against these kind of chuyot, being able to feed anybody that walks in. Okay, so meanwhile, we were talking about the question of going around and checking the walls in the city and making sure that they were going to be worked out and shouldn't endanger anybody. This is part of the Mishnah started off with our discussion on Mapolet. So where do we need to actually see the Mapolet as Gzeirah min HaShamayim, or where do we see it as engineering difficulties? Anyway, so we continue on with the same sugya with the Maase of Ilfa v'Rabbi Yochanan. Ilfa v'Rabbi Yochanan v'Garsi b'Oraita. They're sitting and learning Torah together. Wonderful chavrusas. Techikolo milta tuva, and they were in really bad shape financially. They had nothing to eat. Amri, so they decided, you know what? Nekum v'nizom nevediska. Let's take off some time. We'll go and we'll do some kind of business thing and make some money, and then we'll get back to learning. V'nekayim b'nafshin efes kilo yebecha v'yon. And that way we'll be mekayim with ourselves the mitzvah, because we can read the posik not only as a nevias, but that you have a chiyuv to see to it, that you yourself, becha, in your own self, you need to avoid aniyut. Fine. Also, otitu tiguda re'iyah. So, anyway, they set out on their march to business. Meanwhile, they sit down to have a sandwich, and they didn't realize that they were sitting under a very dangerous wall that was not actually built very well. It was going to fall down one of these days. And havikar karche rifta, there they were having a sandwich. Come along to Malachi HaSharet. And Rabbi Yochanan overhears a conversation between these two Malachim. So one says to the other one, look at these idiots. Let's throw this wall on them and kill them. Nishte alayo hai guda v'naktalinu, sheminichin chaye olam haba. And they're asking Mechaye Shark. Can you imagine that they're going away from their learning to go into business? Are they crazy? So the other Malach said, no, you can't kill them because one of them is going to be a great man. And because of that, it's not his time to die because he's destined to be a great man. So Rabbi Yochanan overhears this discussion between the Malachim. Ilfa doesn't hear anything. And Omele Rabbi Yochanan Ilfa. So Rabbi Yochanan just wants to find out whether he's the only one who's listening. So he says, did you hear anything? Me? No. What, are you hearing voices? Not a good sign, you know. Anyway, so he tells him, hello. So Rabbi Yochanan says to himself, aha, midashami ana v'ilfalo shama, shma mina ladidi kaimeli shaita. Since I heard these voices, and the Ilfa doesn't hear, it's obviously meant as a message to me that I am going to become the next Rosh Hashiva, and therefore I better not go into business. And anyway, as Rashi says, the minig was at that time that when they appointed someone Rosh Hashiva, not only did they not expect him to run around all over the world collecting money, they actually made him rich. So what do I got to go into business for? So it would be like the same din as the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol says, Agadol mi'achav, that it should be Gadol mi'shelachav. So that's what they did. So anyway, by the time Ilfa, so Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind. And he says, you know what? I'm going to go back. Vuki ben Avshoi, and I'll be Mekayim the other Pasuk. Ki lo yechdal avyon mikerav haaretz. There's no way to prevent poor people from being around, so I'll be one of the poor. What can you do? Anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan had that. Rabbi Yochanan goes back to learning, and Ilfa kept going into business. By the time Ilfa got back, Adati Ilfa, and by then Molech Rabbi Yochanan was already the Rosh Hashiva, and he was already rich. So because of that, they treated him like a melech, Rashi says. Molach in this case means that the imamish treated him like a melech in the sense that they made him very mechubad and rich like a melech. So Amrullah, they said to Ilfa, You know, listen, if you had come back and you had learned, instead of going to the business, so there's many different pshatim in the next word. Lo havi molech mar. So one way of reading it is, if you would have come back, then we would not have made Rabbi Yochanan Rosh Hashiva. Or it was said as a question. You think if you would have come back, we wouldn't have made you the king? Or Rashi seems to possibly have a girsa. That's how it's mashma to me anyway. That e havi mar, if e asif mar vagoris, havi molech mar, we would have made you also a melech. Doesn't have to be a competition. Because you would have been so choshev. We would have made you also a Roshiva and given you all the money you need. So they apparently did not approve of Ilfa's running around, going into business. It wasn't necessary. So he went, tied himself up to the Askaria, the Sfinata. He gets up on the top of the mast of a ship. And they say that it was a Kabbalah, that it was Richie's. It was Richie's ship at that time. And he said that if anybody, if anybody can quote me a brisa that was approved by Reb Chiya and Reb Hoshaya, who were Tamidim of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and therefore all of the brises were passed on by Rebbe, and therefore were clearly part of Rebbe's girsa. So if I can't bring you a Mishnah that you can learn out that brisa from, I am going to cut myself off of the mast, fall into the sea, and drown. So go ahead. Let's see a challenger. So Ata Husaba, that famous old man, comes along, and he says, well, what about this brisa? Omer tnu shekel levanai b'shabbat. Give one shekel to my children every Shabbat as their allowance. And it turns out, after he died, that they actually had big families and they needed more than a shekel. They needed two shekel. They needed a whole selah. So then we would give them a shekel because, a selah, because the father meant to give them basically what they needed. Obviously, over a period of time, if their needs grew or there was inflation or whatever, you would give them more. But if he said, al titnu lem ela shekel, which is what he should have said if he wanted to limit their allowance, so then, of course, we would do what he said. Im amar, and if he added, without saying, al titen lem ela shekel, he said that if these children die, then I want the money to go to, and he gives other people's names, Yeshua Cheirim Tachtehem. So then even if he didn't say, so ben shomar tnu, ben shomar al titnu ela, it's the same thing, because he obviously did not want the money to be used up. And therefore, ain't up in lehem ela shekel. So we'd only give them one shekel. So now there is a lot of discussion about how this thing could possibly work, because he can't limit his Yerusha. All right, so a lot of discussion. The Pashtus is that this is the way that the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Kashin Mishpat, and the way the Rambam brings the halacha, that we're talking about that he puts it aside as a gift, as a living gift, and he gives it to somebody, not as a din of Yerusha, but he gives it to someone to be like the apotropos on the money that he wants to give to his kids. So he lets the other person be zeicha for on behalf of the children, and then he tells him how to give it out. So, I mean, Lamaisa, once he gave it as a gift, it really belongs to the children. And especially, I mean, after he dies, so then they are the legal heirs anyway of money that he had. So the question is, why do we listen to what he said? So this is what I want you to tell me, is the challenge now to Ilfa as he is dangling from the mast of Richie's yacht. And we want to know whether we're about to see a dramatic suicide or whether he's got the solution. Amarlei, so he said, it's Parshat. Amani Rebbe Meir he. This is the Mishnah that quotes Rebbe Meir that says, Mitzvah l'kayem divrei ha-meit. So this is the Mishnah in Ksuvos. So therefore, we have a mitzvah that since he was mitzvah in this way. So there's three separate shitas in this thing about, if we're talking about Davka, that he said this as a Shriv Meira and added that it's a Lashon Matana, or is it even if it isn't a Shriv Meira and that he gave it Stam as a Matana Michaim, And then there are some that suggest that it's even Midin Yerusha, which is a lot of discussion. Why in the world would somebody, because of the din of mitzvah, the kind of amet, have a right to be memayit in the Yerusha's bona? That's not pasha at all. But anyway, there are three separate approaches to the sukkah. So now that we are zeicha to have our own gavi sitting in the very place where Nochum Ish Gamzu is buried, maybe he'll turn the phone around so we can actually see the kever. There's the kever of Nochum Ish Gamzu, and we have the whole Gemara that is about to come engraved on the side of the panel of the kever of Nochum. Oh, there's our sugya. There we go.
So very impressive.
Beautiful,
very
huh?
Impressive.
All set up to impress even Barnea. Uh-huh. And Barnea can't say this is his neighborhood, but Gavi can. You have been outdone. Wonderful. Anyway, so they say this story. Thanks so much, Gavi. Amru alav al Nachum Ish Gamzu. So what do they say about Nachum Ish Gamzu? And why did they call him Gamzu? I mean, he really, there's no place called Gamzu. The real name, of course, is Gimzu. That's mentioned in Tanakh. We didn't mean for you to shut down the phone. So that everybody used to call him for some reason. Instead of calling him Gimzu, Ish Gimzu, which was normally you call a person in the place where he came from, they changed the way that they refer to him as Gamzu. There must have been a reason for that. Yes, indeed. They say about him that he was a Suma Mishtei Einav. He was blind in both of his eyes. He was a gidem mishtei yadav. He was an amputee of both hands. Horrible. Both feet were amputated. His entire body was full of shchin with terrible boils and bruises. And he was living in this house that could barely stand up in a bayit ra'ua. They had to put his bed into containers of water so that each one of the feet of his bed was surrounded by water, because otherwise if ants would crawl up on the bed, they would eat him alive and there would be no way he could get them off without hands. So a horrible thing. Anyway, so pamachat, take out this business of haitamunakad, pamachat, bikshu tamidav lefanot mitato. So they wanted to take his bed out from there and move him somewhere else. They were going to take his bed out, and then they would take out the rest of the things in the house. And he said to him, no, that would be a big mistake. Take out the things first, my children, and then take out my bed. Because as long as I'm in the house won't collapse. But the moment you take me out of the house, this is, of course, the beginning of the story that was the Yisairus to bringing this whole Gemara, was the story yesterday with Ravuna that they wanted to make sure that the house wouldn't collapse when he got his wine out. So anyway, he said to them, Muftach lachem, I guarantee that kozman shani babayit, en abayit nofel. So sure enough, they took out all of the kelim, they pick up his bed, move the bed out, and pff, there goes the entire house, collapsed on the spot. So it was only standing because of the presence of Nochum Ish Gamzu. Amru lo tamidav, Rebbe, obviously you're a tzadik gomer. So, how could such a horrible state have come upon you? We always thought that there must be something that was not so straight about you. Amar lam banai, ani garamti latzmi. My children, I did this to myself. Pa'amachat, ayiti ma'alech b'derech lebeit chami. I once was traveling to my father-in-law's home, and I was bringing an enormous amount of goods. I had three chamorim loads of food. One of them was delicious food. One of them was the best drinks. And the other one was the Viennese table that was meant to be fed afterwards. And when I arrived there, this guy, I see an Ani Echad, who's standing on the road. He says, Rebbe, Parnaseni, give me something to eat. Amarti lo, absolutely, just wait a minute, I'll take things off of my donkey. Amtenat shefrok min hachamor. I didn't finish taking everything off before the guy suddenly dropped dead. And I realized that I hadn't looked at him sufficiently to see how desperate he was. I should have just ripped something off of the chamor and given it to him. Instead, like, oh, yeah, we'll do things in the normal way. Let me unload. I'll find something for you. So alakti v'nafalti apanav. I went and fell on him. And I said, Einai shelo chasu aleinecha yisomu. My eyes that did not pity you, didn't look into your eyes to see how in trouble you were, they should go blind. Yadai shelo chasu hayadecha. The hands that didn't jump to grab something off of my chamor, yidgadmu, they should be cut off. Raglai shelo chasu haraglecha. Yidgatu. I didn't jump down to take everything off to give you. They should also be amputated. And I just couldn't find any peace. My entire body should be covered with these horrible boils. Amrulo, so they said, Oy, lanu shirinucha b'kach. This is horrifying that we should see you in such a state. Amarlem, Oy, lim, lori tuni b'kach. God help me. If you didn't see me like this, because then I would have had to suffer in Olam Haba for this. It's a very, very sweet pirush on this. I think it was in the Hagdom of the Shara Yosha, where he says, like this, the Hanhaga seems to be, oh, there's Rav Kaplan calling on the phone. Yes, indeed. To remind us, right in the perfect sugya. I don't know how he knew what we were learning. But chas v'shalom that we should know about aniyim and we shouldn't be taking care of them. So don't forget, we still have time to be able to give tzedakah on Hanukkah. Those of you who already sent, I've already given it to Rav Shloima. So we'll give him again, but the money was already delivered. Okay. Just let me know, please. So, anyway, as I saw, beautiful pshat. So he says that you see from here, it sounds crazy, but there is a hanhaga like this in the world, or at least there used to be. And that is that if somebody was appointed a minister and something goes wrong under his ministership, he resigns. So it used to be. Why? Even though, I mean, it's like almost impossible for him to have thought of such a thing that he should worry about it's happening. But if it happened under its stewardship, so then he takes responsibility on himself and he resigns because that's the sense of ultimate responsibility. The truth is that in Japan, this was where everything was mamish at the time of the samurai. Everything was pure midas hadin. The guy would immediately commit harikari. 100%. So what Nochem Ish Gamzu was doing was portion. He felt it mitzad the midas hadin that he isn't right to have hands and feet if he doesn't use them for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them for. To be using them for mitzvahs and sensitivity and so on. So if you think about life in that way, with the clarity that everything is purposeful, that everything is roi ladin, so then the issue of Nochem Ish Gamzu is very powerful.
A kind gadol that there was a resicha to show did under him.
Yeah, but here it's his own taking responsibility. There it's the Torah's giving responsibility. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Very good. So why did they call him? But that doesn't explain why they called him Nochem Ish Gamzu instead of Gimzu, does it? Why did they call him Nochem Ish Gamzu? Ah, that's because no matter how horrible a thing was that happened, he would always say Gamzu Letova. And ultimately, beautiful. Nochem Ish Gamzu. Amazing. So he would say Gamzu Letova. Because everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, as Rabbi Akiva said, Komad Avid Rachmana Latava Avid. People don't understand the meaning of that. They think it means that God's intention is ultimately always for the best, and, you know, so you could be sure that in the end it'll work out. That's not what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Rabbi Akiva is saying that by definition, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something, the Mida that is behind the entire Bria can't possibly be that something should be bad. The only nature of Bria is the Olam Chesed Yibana, which is an act of love. So how could you possibly think and be in a state of worrying, maybe he's out to get me? It's insane. It's obviously crazy because the entire nature of my separation is only Latova. So therefore, in terms of the Bria as a whole, you're complaining. I mean, whatever, but you know that you're involved in the most intense flux of a creation of pure Rachmana, of pure rachamim and love, which is the real meaning of the basis of the rachamim, rachmana. Okay, so that's the idea. So therefore, it's ultimately the teva. That's all that I care about. Who am I and what am I to start judging the particular moment? Everything is the teva. Anyways, Zim Nechada, Boy L'Shidur Yisrael, Doron Kesar. So they once had to go, you know, the more that you bring gifts to the court, the better off you are. It's always a getter of, as Esav, we discovered with Yaakov Zanaga, with Esav, just keep giving gifts. Anyway, so they said, okay, it's a dangerous thing. Who should go to deliver it? Man Yezel. They decided Yezel Nochum Ish Gamzu, because so many nisim happened to him that he'll probably make it through. Melumad benisim. Anyway, so Shodru B'yodeh, they take a safe and sifta filled with avonim tevas and magolias. It's filled with all types of precious stones, pearls. And he goes. And he was at a particular hotel, Bat Bahu Dira, and Belayla Kamu Hanach Diroi, in the middle of the night, they came, they took his safe, emptied it out, umlanu afra, and instead they filled it up with dirt. This next piece does not belong, it's ridiculous. Kimata hata, so when he comes to the Rome, and to the Caesar's palace, so he gives it to them, sharino the sifta, they open it up, chazana de malo afra, they see it's full of dirt. So Caesar was absolutely outraged. He says, kill all the Jews. Baba Malkala Mictalina Lakulo. What, they're out here to make fun of me? They're making a laughing stock of me by sending me a pile of dirt. Said Nochamish Gamzu nu Gamzu Lateva. What can you do? Okay. So meanwhile, Elio Anavi comes along and he appears to them as being one of the members of the Roman Senate. So eat me like Ichad Minay. So he says to Caesar, Amarle, I mean, come on, you really think that these people are stupid and suicidal, that they would send you dirt? This is obviously the most incredible gift imaginable on this planet. This has got to be that magic dirt that we know they used when they had that one guy, Abraham, and he went and he defeated all of those kings in the First World War. This must be that incredible dirt. Dilma hayafra meafra da avram avuan. Dechi avishadi afra. Avram would take a handful of dirt, throw it against the arba malachim. And if he did that, ki avishadi afra havi saife. If he would throw dirt, the dirt would turn into these flying missiles, swords, that would get every one of the enemies. If he threw straw, the straw would turn into arrows. And as it says in the pasuk, yitain ke'afar charbo. And that is a reference in Yeshayahu to Avram Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the dirt into missiles. Now, these were all guided missiles. You understand what this is worth? This is technology millennium advanced, Caesar. Man, go for it. Anyway, so they decided they're going to do a test. So they'll drop one bomb on Carthage or whatever. So that's what they did. They had this country, the Lomotzi, Lomikpasha, had been warring for years. They were never able to subdue it. And Botkumine, so they dropped one bomb at this stuff. And sure enough, they surrendered on the spot, Uchvashua. And so they conquered it. So they saw that, wow, this is the most incredible gift ever given to Caesar. So they took Nochum into the Ginze de Vemalka, into the treasury. And they filled up that safe of his with the most expensive of Avanim Tovim or Margolios, Shadru, B'Yikra, Rabba. They sent him off with a guard of honor and so unbelievable. Okay, so that evening, he goes back to the same hotel where he had come from. And they're absolutely amazed. I mean, they thought he was dead. So Omrele, so they said, my gosh, what did you bring that they're doing all of this for you? Da'avdilukha Yikra Kulei Hai. I don't know, said Nochamish Gamzu. I mean, I just brought the safe from here and I gave it to them. And this is the way they responded. It was all crazy story. Whatever I brought from here, that's what got there. So, of course, they tear down their whole house, bring in bulldozers, fill up a couple of big trucks with this dirt and drive to Rome and dump it all in front of the palace. And they say to Caesar, listen, that guy that was here, that Jew, he just brought you one tiny little bit of what this is where it came from. We're bringing you the whole thing now that we see that it was tested. Anyway, they tested it out, and it was just dirt, and so they killed him on the spot. And that was the end of that Maisa with Nochem Ishkamzer. Wonderful, wonderful. Ah, there it is right there, the whole story. Amazing, amazing. Okay. Now, the Mishnah had said that the way that we define dever was a zeo dever, ir hamotia chamesh miot ragli. So if you've got 500 able-bodied soldiers that are in good shape and three of them die, one a day over a period of 3 days, that's considered to be dever. Now, the Brisa wants to make it clear that this is actually prorated. So Tana Rabbanan, now we're going to talk about another city of Gavi, but not if he keeps hiding behind this mouse. That's ridiculous. So there's another place that Gavi could take us to if he's fast enough, which we're about to discuss. So if you have a city that's got 1,500 people, so 1,500 Ragli, let's say like Kfar Akko. So in there, if you've got 9 people over 3 days that would die, 3 a day, so then them zecherzeh, so then that would be a dever for that area. But if they all died in one day, or if they died over 4 days, then that would not be considered to be a dever. How about a city that can only get 500 people? Like Amuka. There's this little town next to Gavi, like Kfar Amiku. So over there, Yatsu Mimeno Shlosha Mesim, Vishlosha Yamim. So Chas v'Chalila, 3 people would die 3 days in a row, zeh zeh, then it's considered to be a dever. But if they all die on one day, or they die over a longer period, then ain't a dever. Now this city of Drokart was an ir hamotzi achamesh meod ragli havi. So it was a small town, and what happened was 3 people died on one day. Yotzu mimenu shlosha mitim biyom echad. Reb Nachman Bar of Chista was Gezer Atainis because of this, as a dever. So Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to him, come on, apparently you're paskling like Rebbe Meir, that Rechek Nigichosav Chaya, Ki Reb Nigichosav Lekoshkem. So that we have a machlokas in Baba Kama. What's considered to be a Shor HaMuad? So we dash him with a posik, Tmol Shilshom. So Im Shor Nagachu Mitmol Shilshom, so that means today, day before, and the day before that. So that means we have 3 negiches. So according to Rebbe Yehuda, it's 3 negiches that are spread out over 3 days, because it says in the Torah the days. Rebbe Meir says, no, the Torah is saying even the days. Obviously, if the shor is going wild and it's done 3 killings in one day, I mean, that's even worse. So for sure, that's lokol shekein. But the question is, the machlokas between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda, is whether you're talking about something that is indicative of a state in the shor, or in the virus for that matter, so that it's even more powerful, or we don't look for explanations on random events. And things that take place on one day are simply random events. So we don't say, well, okay, it happened because the virus is so powerful. No. It hasn't happened yet because the virus is so deadly. It's happened randomly, and random things happen all the time. And to go searching for an explanation is wrong, and therefore that would not be a muad. That's good for the machlokas between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda. So apparently you're paskening like Rebbe Meir, and you're saying that if 3 people died on and they were, even if it was the same day, so then you were gozer atainis, but we had learned before that it was not. And if it was more than 3 days, 4 days, or if it was all in one day, it wouldn't be. So how do you go against the Braita? Apparently you hold that this is totally in the machlokas of Rebbe Meir. Now this is a lot of discussion in the Achronim about whether this is meant to be a kasha, because I think that they don't understand the machlokas of Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda. But anyway, there was a big discussion about whether if there is clearly a causal issue, whether you're supposed to look at causal issue. You can only say something is random where you haven't noted any causality. So, okay, in terms of an animal's psychology, that's one issue, which you would not say is causal, but a viral potency, you would look at as being causal. Anyway, question about maybe he was asking his akasha. Pasha says he just was saying, apparently you're going against the brisa. Anyway, once we're on the subject of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak and Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda, we want you to know, because they were talking to each other over here, we want you to know the covet that they were knowing with one another. So Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda said to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, now notice that Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda, they called his father Rav. But Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, they did not call his father Rav. Now this is going to turn out to be important later on in the story. So it turns out Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda says to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, would you please move? Come and live in our town. In our town, we've got so many frum schools. We've got so many frum kids. We've got such big yeshivas. This is a place where a person like you should live. It's more mechubad. What are you sitting, living out there next to Gavi? How many batei knesiot are there after all, down there in Birya? Marley, Sir Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to him, I don't know. I have a brisa that goes like this. Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo mekomo shel adam mechabdo, el adam mechabed et mekomo. You don't get any honor from going to a place that is called Lakewood just because there's so much going on there. Wherever you are, that is what gives that place its covet. So if you're like Gabi, as opposed to Gavi over here, if you're like Gabi, and you're living all alone and surrounded by nothing for miles and miles, that is a mokum mechubad, because the Adam is mechabed et mikomo. So I'm not going to gain anything moving to you. Well, you think I need to live in that town in order for me to be choshev? I'll bring you a raya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a good raya. Shekein matzinu bar Sinai. As long as the Shechina was on our Sinai, it became Kodesh. And the Torah said, Gamatzon v'abakar al yiruam olaharahau. You have to be careful. The animals can't graze there. It's too covetic and so on. But the moment that the Shechina left, it says, Bimshoch hayovel, Ema yalubar, let the animals go up on the mountain. How can they go up on the mountain? What do you mean? This was the Beis HaMedrash of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Hashra'as HaShechina per se that is the covet. When a Talmud Chacham is in a Mokamich, it's the Hashra'as HaShechina that provides the Ziva, Kvoda, Eira. The Shechina disappears with the Tzaddik. So then the Mokam doesn't have any kind of Hashivas at all. So there, it's the same thing. You don't gain anything from being in a different kind of place where you think you get covered. This is, the Bali Musa, of course, used this. You know, the people run after this covered Hamiduma, of being a Choshev Rav, getting an important shteller, and that they're looked at as important, whereas in actuality, if they need to get their importance from somewhere else, then they have no importance, because the only real importance is the Hashra'as HaShechina. Same thing is true about the Ohel Moed in the Midbar. Look at this. As long as the Ohel Moed is up, v'yishalchu min ha-machaneh kol tzarua v'kol zav, and so on and so forth, unbelievable. The entire machaneh has to be careful about which Tomei is nichnas. The moment that they roll up the parochet to move away, and now they're going to move to a new location. So now, Hutru Zavin, Mitzrayim, Likanetz Lashom, what happened to the great Kedusha? What great Kedusha? We're in the middle of a desert, and the Kedusha was the fact that the Shekhinah was there. So therefore, there's no point in my moving. You're not offering me anything. It means nothing to me. Thank you very much. So then he said, so Omar Leisler, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to him, if that's the case, then I'm coming to you. Yochi nekum ana legabe mar. And, I should go to you and I'll live by you. Omar Leisler, and as he said then, mutav, he was ready to go to move to him. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to him, mutav yavo mona ben pras, it's a mona ben mona. Look, if you're going to do that, so then it's not right, said Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, because my father, you'll notice, does not have a Rav on his name. So that means I may be worth $100, but my dad was only worth $50. So, okay, you, on the other hand, you're a mana ben mana. So it makes more sense that the mana ben mana should be able to stay where he is, and the mana ben mana shouldn't move to the place to be next to mana ben pras. So if you're so, it's so important to you, we'd be together, I'll make it happen. Anyway,
the way... connected to Erech Osteret Alachsanya Shalom. So it's more of an Achsanya, right? Because we said it comes back in the family. We use that term.
Yeah, but I think Achsanya is family only. I'm saying it. It wouldn't help to define the Mokum. I thought you were trying to define the Mokum.
You were trying to make that connection. It's inherent in him.
Maybe. Yeah, I hear. It's a very interesting point. Very interesting. Besura Havi Devarta. There was once a Dever in Surah, and Rav, of course, was the Rav of Surah. And sure enough, in Rav's neighborhood, no Dever. So everybody was thinking, wow, what a schus to have Rav in your neighborhood, that he saved the entire neighborhood. Mishum schusay the Rav, that's nafish. We were all saved. So they all had a dream that night. Kind of bizarre to say such a thing about Rav. You think we need Rav's schuyas for a little thing like saving your crummy lives? Ridiculous. Rav is too great to be used up for such silly purposes. Rav, nefisha zechusei tuva, hamilse zutre l'Rav. This is small potatoes for Rav. It had nothing to do with Rav. It's because there's a guy that lives in the neighborhood. The Shayo Moro is Vila Lekfura. He would always have a hoe and a shovel that he would lend out for people who need to be kaver for mesim. So because of that zechus, there were no mesim in your neighborhood. What's the matter with you people? You have no way to be marich. What is important and what gives a schus and what isn't? Ridiculous. There was another maisa in Drokart where there was a fire. And Ravuna, who lived in Drokart, in that neighborhood, there was no fire. So people say, oh, wow, the schus of Ravuna saved the neighborhood. So the same thing happened with them. Is chazivu b'chilma. Ravuna, you guys are nuts. I zutulei Ravuna, small potatoes for Ravuna. There's a woman in the neighborhood that when she warms up her oven to bake her bread for Shabbos, she offers it to all of the neighbors. So because she uses fire for such chesed, how could fire possibly be pogea in your neighborhood? You people have no sense of what a mitzvah is worth or what a schus is worth, in the same way that you have no sense of violating an opportunity and what happened to Nochem Ish Gamzu. This is all about our understanding, and of course it fits so beautifully with the Rambam's introduction, that the Dinim of Tainius, it belongs all here, that the Gemara is bringing out the level of responsiveness, that a person responds to opportunities, and what it is that he loses when he doesn't respond to opportunities, and the way that the Bria is responsive to him, and that there is no Mikra, Chas v'Shalom should be an achzorius to the Bria, which is exactly what Nochem Ish Gamzu did to himself. Achzorius, mamash. Because of the fact that he had faced things with achzorius, he felt that that was the only mida connected mida that would save his Olam Haba. It's a horrifying thing. Omer Leila Rabbi Yehuda. They once told Rabbi Yehuda, locusts have been spotted. Gozer Tanisa immediately. But they said to Rav Yehuda, but they're not being mafsed anything. I mean, we did see locusts, but there's no damage to the tefua. Amarlo, really? Wow. Where are they hiding the suitcases that they brought that are filled with food? Because, I mean, they've got to be eating something. So I guarantee you, when the suitcases are empty, they're going to be feeding on your backyard. So my tinus is very worthwhile. So Zavda Isabatai, well, you think they brought their own suitcases? Omer Leila Rabbi Yehuda. There was another time they told Rabbi Yehuda that the pigs, there is a virus that's killing the pigs. So he immediately was gezer atinus. What does that mean? That Rabbi Yehuda holds that viruses are interspecies? That maka mishulachat mimin echad mishulachat mikol amini? That you don't have to have like some kind of serious mutation until it's going to get from one species to another species. You have to right away, because pigs are dying, you have to right away worry that people are dying. Is that what he hold? No. Pigs are different. Everybody knows that. If you ever want to experiment, you take pigs to experiment because they are so similar in so many ways to humans. That's the point. As we know, some humans, you can't even tell the difference. So pigs are different. The damyan me'ayu v'nei inche. And this is so true, because that's why you could use pig organs. You use pig organs for experiments and for sometimes actually using tissues for humans. there's this plague that is affecting Beit Huzai, which was not where Shmuel was, and he was Gezer HaTinus. But they said to him, what? But, I mean, it's very far away, isn't it? I mean, do we have to worry about it here? Omar, so he said to them, well, I mean, there's a different Lashon that says this is a Lashon Tema, which is more similar to the previous. I mean, what exactly do you think? That the bridges are going to stop the viruses? Is that what you think? They're going to be caught by customs inspectors? Believe me, where the people goeth, so the viruses goeth. And therefore, it's time to have a tinus. It's amazing how contemporary these things are. Incredible, no? This is exactly the way people think today. Oh, yeah, it's China. Who cares? It's not going to have anything to do with us. Oh, that's the South African variant. No way it's going to get here. Omer Leila Rav Nachman. Ika mutana ba'arad Yisrael. There's people dying in Eretz Yisrael of a plague. Gozer ta'anita. And he said, Imgvira loka, shivcha lo koshken. God help us. If the mistress, the Eretz Yisrael, like I said before, Eretz Yisrael, the Gishomim come to Eretz Yisrael first, the rest of the world only gets the leftovers. If Chas v'Shalom, something bad is happening to Eretz Yisrael, imagine how much worse is Bavel. Wait a minute. But he's saying that's the only reason? Because it's the Gvira of Neshivcha? What if it would be two towns in Bavel? Hashivcha v'shivcha lo? So he would not have been Gozer. So, but then didn't Shmuel say that in the case where there was Ika Mutna Bechuzoi and he was Gozer Tainis? So I don't get it. He's going against Shmuel. He's saying it's only because of this like mystical thing that the Gvira is going to be worse than the Shivcha. No, that's different. Come on. Shiny, awesome. Obviously, in Shmuel's case, there's public transportation that go between Beit Huzai and Arda, right? So, given the Shayarta, the Lavi, the Atibade. So what he was saying, Shmuel, is that the viruses or whatever pathogen you have travels with people. And since people go from between these two towns, so then, for all intents and purposes, it means that the virus is broken out here. But over there, if it wouldn't have been for that, he wouldn't have said, he wouldn't say just some, it's going to be airborne from Beit Huzai to Narada. Mashenken, over here, I mean, well, you don't have people that are coming, but during this plague, you don't have people that are coming, so you don't have to worry. Aba umna, havi ati le shlama mimetifta derekia ko yuma. So this Abba, who was more recently, it was the barber that was the umna. The umna was the blood letter. And that's why, as you know, that's why the barber shops have the red and white pole, because that's where they used to do the bloodletting. So the Abba was a bloodletter, and that was like a major thing in those days, because they really didn't have much to do against disease. And there are a few diseases that it actually helps to do bloodletting, but not many. They say that they killed George Washington with all that bloodletting. But anyway, so he was an Uman, and every single day, he received a special regard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that would say to him, Shalom Alecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would send him regards. Abaye, so Abasko, would whisper in his ear regards. And Abaye would only get such a thing on Erev Shabbos. And Rava would only get such a thing on Erev Yom Kippur. So Abaye was like devastated. Like, this guy, Abba Umna, is so much better than me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him regards every day, and I only get regards on every Shabbos. Not bad, huh? You wouldn't mind getting regards just once, huh? So Abaye was like really devastated. Like, why is he so much better than me? Omrulai, so they told Abaye, there's no way that you can possibly compete with this guy, Abba Umna. What was so great about Abba Umna? My Abba Umna did Abba Umna. Because when he would do his thing, so he would have the waiting room filled with people. But he had two separate waiting rooms, one for men and one for women. Not only that, he designed a special surgical garb, which you put on and which had an opening in it for a hypodermic, where he was able to take blood without exposing your body. So itle levusha deit pekarna David beziab ki kusilta, and it had this opening just in the place where the vein would be that you would take the blood from. And if a woman would come to him, he would have her put this on, Avi Malbishla, and that way he wouldn't touch a woman and he wouldn't look at her, and she would be covered with this hospital garb, that he would be able to do the operation without exposure. The Itle Duchta Bitzina, and then for payment, he had this private room where you would put your money, the Shari Bepshita the Shakil, and they would put their money into a box on their way out. And therefore, whoever didn't have money wouldn't put in money. So the Itle Shadibe, if they could afford to pay, they would pay. And the Letle Lo Mixef, and that way nobody would be embarrassed by not having funds. If a Talmud Chacham came to him, so first of all, he would not take any kind of charge. There was no charge for a Talmud Chacham. And not only that, when the Talmud Chacham would get up to leave, Abba Umna would give him some cash, and he would say, go get yourself some orange juice, because, you know, after letting blood, it's good to have orange juice. So Zil Bori Nafshecha, go get something to get stronger. So one day, it's an absolutely riotous story. So Abaya was like really, really devastated. And he wanted to know, okay, how far can you go with this guy that he's such a big tzaddik? I'm going to check him out. So he sends two of his talmidim to go to Abba Umna. All right. So they come into his house. They say they need a place to stay. So fine. He puts them at the table. Achlino, Ashkino. He gives them to drink and to eat. And then he takes these beautiful rugs and spreads them out for them to sleep. Machlu bistarki belailia, that they can have this comfortable, very thick bed. In the morning, the two talmidim, each one takes the carpet that was given to him, rolls it up and steals it, walks out of the house and goes to the market. Tzakum of anafkalu l'shuka. Anyway, they bump into Abba Umna. And they say, sir, could you tell us, what do you think these rugs are worth? Because we're trying to get a good price. He says to them, it was $1,963.40. That's what they're worth. So they said to him, wait a minute, maybe you're trying to get it at a lower price. Maybe it's actually worth a heck of a lot more than that. Dilma Shavutvei. So he said to them, what do you mean? That's what I paid for it. Okay. So I know exactly what it's worth. So he knew what was going on. So they said, well, the truth is they're yours. And we stole them from you. So, like, what did you think when we came over to you and you see us walking out with the spoons? Like, what were you thinking? What were your cheshit? He said, I figured that you probably have had a kidnapping in your family. And they want $1 million, and you're going around collecting money, and you're embarrassed to tell me that you want me to give you money because you had a personal interest. So I mean, opinion shvuyim iklu l'rabbanan v'chsif l'meimrali, you were too embarrassed. So you let me know in this way that I need to give you money. So I'm really okay, but the whole thing was basically a joke. So here, take him back. Hashta neshkalinumar. Oh no, he said, I can't take him back. The moment that I understood that you were trying to raise money, I immediately gave it up to tzedakah. I can't take it back now. It would be stealing from tzedakah. Great story, no? Anyway, wow. So may we be zeicha to such midas and such hanhagas and such recognition of the immense opportunities that are presented us to do good on these beautiful Yomim of Hanukkah, where the Ora comes from the Ashras Hashchina, just like it did in those special places. It's Bizman HaZeh, at the same time, is also supposed to have that same Ora. That's what it means, right? If the place had that Ora, so then if you enter into the Moed as the time can have that Ora. So then it's like, Hamula Harahu.